Well, good morning and welcome to Conversations. My name is Ed Holohan, and my guest today is Deborah Eklund. I'm going to call her Deb for the rest of the show, who is the customer service manager at the Viroqua Food Co-op, and that's part of what we'll talk about today. Deb is also a native, born and raised Viroquan, a real Kickapoogian, and that's where we'll start. Good morning, Deb.
Morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing fabulous.
I got to ask you right up front, what are you doing over there?
I am crocheting a baby blanket. It is in the shape of a star, which...
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I can see it. Hold that up to the mic so the people...
What I love about the five-pointed star is that you can wrap it right around the baby.
So it's like a diaper like with a top.
Exactly.
I love it.
Like a little baby pouch. And then when the baby gets bigger and doing blanket time, it's really fun. So
you'll have to crochet another one when the baby gets bigger. So who's the baby? Who's coming?
Well, this is for Nicole. Her baby is due in the end of July. So
everybody knows that's Nicole, who is a colleague of yours, at the co-op?
Yeah. She's... been with us since early spring. She started in the bakery, and then, you know, bakeries get
good place to start.
That's where I started at the co-op.
Is that right?
The bakery.
Yeah. I forgot that. Wow.
Yeah, and then about 2 years in, I became pregnant with my daughter Ariel.
That happens with bakeries too. You have to explain that to me sometime. That's
food is very amorous or something.
Something like that. And some reference to one in the oven or something like that.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. So Nicole is just end of July. Well, that's soon.
It's coming up. Yeah. Really close.
So you have two pregnant colleagues.
Yeah. And then Rose, she is due in October.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's my month. You told me that you have like 10,000 August birthdays in your family.
Just about. My birthday is August 13th, so I've got a nephew who's on the August 12th, I've got a niece on the 14th, I think I have another niece on the 15th, or the 17th, or maybe both.
You're a Leo clan.
Yeah, so...
I know a guy who's at this station, who's the production manager guy, who knows a lot of Leos, I'm thinking.
So all my siblings are fire signs.
See, now, this is good, because I'm a total novice at this. What's a fire sign?
That's
pretty basic. What's a fire sign, Deb?
Well, all of the astrological signs they go in a cycle of water, fire, earth, and air.
Okay.
And so it just so happens that my siblings all line up in the fire signs. So I have two Aries. So Annika, David are both Aries, which is April, the first half of
first
April.
First half, right.
There's three Leos, which is my brother Joshua, end of July, myself and my oldest sister Amanda. She's at the cusp of Leo and Virgo. Mm-hmm. And then Joseph is the Sagittarius.
Okay, so there's three of each, like
three
months?
No, there's two.
Oh, three
of
the
each.
Signs.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm still back on I'm still back on Astrology 101. Yeah. What's a Scorpio? That's what I am. Did they even bother to give Scorpio a place? Is it Earth?
I think it's Earth. Oh man, I'm a little bit out of practice.
That's okay.
My stepdad is an astrologer, so I'm kind of.
This is nowhere near in the question. So you're doing great so far. Deb knew.
Yeah, I didn't prepare for this part.
No, not the astrology part. We'll get Ryan in one of these days.
And he knows my family too.
Yes, he does.
He knows all my family.
Like he knows everybody.
Which not many people know my oldest sister.
You know, every time you tell me, well, my older sister is like, okay.
No.
Is she here? Is she?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
She lives in California.
Oh, all right.
She just bought the property next to me.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
In Grove?
In Grove. So.
Are you excited?
I am so excited.
I bet you are. Wow.
Yeah.
Is it a place to build, or is there a house there?
Well, there is a garage that my husband is converting into a tiny home.
And nice.
That is an interesting project.
I love tiny homes.
Yeah.
When we were on the farm, we had two very close friends who moved their tiny house onto our land. And I tell you, every chance I got, I was over there like practicing, and, you know, can I go upstairs? Can I? They're so cool.
Yeah.
I think this one was like 260 square feet.
Okay.
And it was just, man, it was home.
They're pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So this one, it's just going to be one level, but they're like in some of the rooms, there's going to be like a loft for the bed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is your sister going to live there?
So this is the Grove Shack to escape the California fires in August.
You know what?
August.
I get it. Totally. Yeah. Our daughter is going to join us probably in September for at least 2 months. And it's an annual. I mean, the season gets longer and worse every year.
Yeah, and they just finally decided that they needed a place to go when it gets scary.
Yeah.
So this is it, and it's right next door.
It is so cool.
Yeah.
This is, Pollyanna would say, we could be glad about that. You know, there's something good coming out of those awful fires.
Yeah.
Our Suzanne, our daughter, and her daughter, Ella, talk about orange air and lung distress, and you're 90 miles from the fire, and it's still bad.
Yeah.
They live in Sebastopol, which is
where my sister lives, or like her address is Sebastopol. She's in Grayton, right next door, but her address is Sebastopol.
Our friend who's taking care of us technically, Jim Hallberg, is an old timer from Grayton.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome.
he picked a lot of apples out there.
Oh, right.
So to
right.
speak.
Yeah, Jeanette Avenue. That's where they're at.
Oh,
this is so beautiful.
This is lace. We're cracking him up. He's thinking.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
Oh man. Okay. Whole new direction for the show.
Totally.
It's memories of Grayton.
Yeah. Like I get to go visit them. I finally visited in winter. That's the last November. It was still fall there.
Yep.
At the beginning of December. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, we're usually out there in the holidays time. So I'm used to that, where, you know, it can be damp and a little cool.
Mm-hmm.
But lately, it could just as easily be 90. It's
so
crazy.
Weird.
We talked to Suzanne last week, 2 days of 115.
Ugh.
This is Northern California.
I know,
this
right?
isn't the Southern Desert.
No.
115 degrees for 2 days.
Yeah.
Yipes. So, how exciting for you to at least get to spend a couple of months
with
your big sister.
Yeah, so as we're getting older and our responsibilities are, they don't tie us quite so tightly at home.
Right.
In theory.
It says here, let me check my notes. Yes, it's so much easier now.
Well, sometimes I can make it work that we can see each other more, because there is a span of time, you know, like in my early 20s, and that we didn't really see each other for several years, just because you're trying to figure it out, trying to make it work, you know, making money, raising babies,
all of
that. She was
that.
In school. Yeah,
I remember those years.
Yeah,
they were interesting.
Yeah,
Now that we mention it, I am glad I had sort of a mini. Oh, people used to call it a nervous breakdown. It was big time anxiety, and I had it in my early 20s.
Okay.
And I'm so glad I got it done then, and I know so much more now.
Yeah,
you know I. You learn how to handle stuff. As you say, you work it out.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have some friends who waited till much later
to suffer. Did they do the midlife crisis thing?
Like I said, I'm glad I got it done.
Right. Get it done early. And you don't have to worry about it.
In theory. That's true. Yeah.
I mean,
well, like you say, I got that taken care of. There.
Check.
I want to... You're one of my favorite people, because I'll just put a phony percentage on it. Unlike some huge percent of people around here who did not grow up here, you did.
I did. So I was not born here.
Okay.
I was born in Madison. I am technically a transplant. I'm a nativized transplant. That's how I'm calling it.
Would you say that again? Because I gotta write this down. You're a nativized transplant.
I know I'm going into the
You do that with garlic, don't you?
garlic mustard.
Speaking of, yes. Okay, another show. Make note. Another show. Garlic. So you were born in Madison.
So my parents traveled around quite a bit in their early years. And when my dad got his residency, it was Viroqua. I guess it was between us and... I'm trying to remember, somewhere on the east side of the state, but...
Well, I'm glad he chose the West Coast.
Yeah, me too. I could have totally been a different person.
Absolutely. You'd have been eating sausage and drinking beer in Milwaukee, you know? Like.
Well, I mean, I do that here instead, so...
It's better here.
Yeah.
So when did you all come up here?
So, second grade, the summer before my second grade. So, we grew up... we first moved into the Heritage Inn on Jefferson Street.
Sure.
Big house.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's what we called it. It was the big house.
Some people mean prison by that, but for you, the big house was...
Well, yeah.
That very building, obviously, before it was a...
Before it became a bed and breakfast, yeah.
Wow, that was your place.
Yeah, we lived there.
What a great old house.
It was so great.
Must have been a ball to be a little kid in there.
I loved it. So, like, from where I lived was 2 blocks from school.
Right.
2 blocks from the library. And also Viroqua Dairy, and we could ride our bikes to the Viroqua pool.
No, hold it.
Okay.
Where's Viroqua Dairy?
Oh no,
I've hit a sore spot.
It's gone. It was on Court Street.
Court, and what's there now, just so I know what the building is.
Is it
east of Main Street or west of Main Street?
So it would have been east of Main Street.
Okay.
It's a parking lot now for the library, actually.
Oh, well, okay. At least it gets used.
Yeah. It was such a great little
place.
Viroqua
Dairy. They were a dairy, but how did you use them?
$1 shakes. You could get a shake.
You're not old enough to have experienced $1 milkshake.
Yeah.
Wow. $1. Did you hear that, everybody? Let's get the Viroqua Dairy back, huh?
Yeah, my mom would send me to the Viroqua Dairy with $1. I think cones were like 50 cents or something. I don't know, something ridiculous.
Isn't
like
that great?
Yeah.
Did they also retail milk, or were they pretty much an ice cream shop?
I'm not sure about...
Well, you were
the
a little
original
kid. You were there for the shake, right?
Right, yeah, totally. They were the senior meal center. I think it also used to be a bowling alley because the floor on the backside was sloped, which is always interesting when you go to the restroom. I was just going to walk down this sloped floor because that was the days before you had the automated rollers.
Sure, you had pin setters.
Yeah.
Talk about a dangerous job.
My grandpa was a pin setter.
No
it was like his
kidding.
First job when he was a kid, like back in the 40s.
Where did
or
he grow up?
No, 30s. Wauwatosa.
Oh, okay.
Over that way.
And he was a pin setter.
Yeah.
You had better get out of the way. Because some bowlers are very anxious.
They just can't hold that ball.
Nope. Viroqua Dairy. How charming.
It was such a lovely place.
We should go over to the Historical Society together, and you could show me pictures of these things.
Ooh, that would be fun.
It'd be sweet. You may actually be in one of those pictures. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool.
Somebody happened to be shooting on a day that little Deb is walking in.
Cool. When we were kids, like sometimes when our teachers had like a, I don't know, we were caught up on our schoolwork or something, Bonnie would take us over there for a treat and buy all these like 15 to 20 children ice cream cones. It was super
what a
sweet.
Sweet.
They had a lot of flavors.
Bonnie who?
Weidman.
Bonnie Weidman was your teacher?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get out of town. No, stay in town. Yeah. I love Bonnie.
Yeah.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
She's a regular listener.
Yeah, she. I told her, and she's like, what? When is it going to happen?
You know, the very first day I met her, however long ago that was, she was excited about something. And when I saw her 3 days ago in the parking lot at your store, she was very excited about something. She has a great, great energy level. I love that.
Yeah, she was my teacher from second grade to eighth grade. We were the first.
You know what? I'm going to jump ahead here.
Okay,
because
right,
I do want to talk about this. You were the first what?
We were the first grade to make it to eighth grade, which is
like, and where? Tell people where you went to school.
Pleasant Ridge Waldorf School.
Now, you were in the first graduating
eighth grade yep.
class?
Mm-hmm.
Put a year on that, will you?
1996.
Wow.
I think.
You're historical.
I am.
You're almost an archive.
I'm getting there. I'm working on
no,
it.
No, I didn't mean that. I meant, how big was your class?
So we were a combined class.
Right.
So it was 7th and 8th, but they graduated all of us. So I think we were around 18
mm-hmm.
altogether.
Altogether, yeah.
So some of the people you may know.
Go ahead,
so
feel free to name drop. This is a local show.
Julia Hunt. Cedar Rose Seaman.
Uh-huh.
Noah Engel.
Oh, no kidding.
Uh-huh.
It's so nice to hear these names because, you know, they're all associated with much bigger and moved
so
on
Noah's
things.
Noah's wife, Jimena.
Uh-huh.
And golly, we had Marley Keith, Keely McDonald, my bestest friend, the two of them, Mariah Decker. Uh-huh. I don't know if you would know them.
I don't think I do. Who is the baddest kid in your class?
The baddest kid? Oh, you can't do that.
No, you're right. I can't. Who is the nicest kid in your class? Besides you.
Oh,
I mean, I know you probably led the league in everything. But
I don't know. Everybody had such nice qualities.
Yeah. You know, while we're talking about Waldorfian education, that is an outstanding element, and I will call them Waldorf kids, it seems to be universal. They have a way of being with people, strangers and family and everybody in between, and you feel like you're talking to another person. It's not, there's a little kid and I'm a grown-up, and, you know, we have our naturally twain that we'll never meet because we're in different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
I feel with Waldorf kids, you're in the same world. It's really, you get talked to like a person.
Okay.
Now, we Mary and I read, and I hope we get back to that next year, we took the first graders and took them all the way, and then, of course, the pandemic got in the way
right,
of everything.
Right.
But we had gone through five with them, and it was so
they're
sweet.
They're so fun.
Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah, it's a great age. So put me back there.
Okay.
Were you the first? If you were the first graduating class, mm-hmm. were you in the first grade?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I think it started with like three students back in like, I think we had our 20th anniversary while I was in school or something.
This is the little white school.
The old main building.
Yeah. Right.
I don't think it started there, but that was the Viroqua location that was central to the people who were interested in the Waldorf education. I did start in the old main building, first and second grade on one side and third grade on the other. You would rotate rooms depending on which year we're in. I think we did our first two on the one side and then went to the second side in fourth grade. They had this it's an old church.
Right.
So it's got these beautiful stained glass windows, and they had put up partitions in the middle of it to create these two classrooms. Those are gone now. The partitions are gone, so it's a big space that can be used.
I'm so glad the building's been preserved.
Yeah.
We are coming up on a break here.
Okay.
So when we come back, I'd like to keep going with the world of Waldorf.
Okay.
In some way, we'll wiggle our way back to the old days in Viroqua, okay?
Okay.
You are listening to my guest, Deb Eklund, this morning. My name is Ed Hollihan. You stay right where you are, because we'll be right back. Thank you. We're back. My name is Ed Holohan. You are listening to Conversations, and my guest this morning is Deb Eklund. Thank you again, dear heart. It's so great to have you here. You've knitted half a, I mean, you've crocheted half a blanket while you're here.
Yeah, well,
almost.
I don't know that I've gotten
almost
quite that
half
far.
A blanket. Where were we? We were in the old main building.
Yeah, is actually where I learned crocheting and
really?
Knitting. Yes, yes. So as a Pleasant Ridge kid.
Yes, you do handwork.
Yeah. All the time, yeah.
Heart, mind, and hands.
Right? Oh, yeah. So Pleasant Ridge was very lovely for me because I was very much a dreamy child.
Were you?
Oh, imagine.
I sort of guessed that. Yeah. You were one of those kids.
Make-believe.
Yeah.
And, dress-up day where we just got to play in the costume box was my favorite day ever.
Tell me about dress-up day.
There was just this big box of all kinds of costumes, old dresses from the 70s and whatever.
I'll pretend I didn't hear that. Old dresses from the 70s.
I there was a dress there that I hated for a long time, and then when I got to be older, I saw that it was actually pretty damn cool, and
yeah.
I stole it. I totally stole that dress.
You stole from Pleasant Ridge?
Oh,
is there
nobody
a statue
would have
of
noticed.
Limitations?
Oh my gosh. I might have it in my attic somewhere.
Yeah, we ought to dig that up, too. When we go over to the Historical Society, you wear your old-time dress.
Oh, okay? I don't think it would fit me anymore.
Oh, really? Funny how that works.
I'm a different shape these days.
Yeah. So you were a dreamy kid.
Yeah.
Did you read a lot?
We read a lot.
I mean, every Waldorf kid.
Well, okay, so they don't
teach
reading until, third grade.
Right.
But there's lots of books around
too.
It. Yes, there's definitely story time, and that was wonderful. The teacher would read a book or a chapter in a book. I don't know if that was every day, but it was pretty regular.
Pretty regular, yeah.
And we could play with beeswax or draw and just listen and later do handwork and.
Mm-hmm.
That was
so,
awesome.
So educate me here.
Yep.
Why does Waldorf wait a couple of grades before they teach formal reading?
They want children's brains to develop and just learn it naturally, I guess, or develop the interest.
Listening is obviously critical.
Develop other skills.
For that. That's how you learn your language, right? By listening to people who can talk.
So you do a lot of different things with phonics and singing every day, all day long, which, again, is totally what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I still sing all day long.
Sweet.
I sing through my checking out groceries. I'm singing through the produce department and just... That's just what I do. I can't help it.
it's you could have worse habits.
Right.
You could have
right?
far worse habits.
Yeah. That's so great. So we start at a very early age with Spanish and German.
Mm-hmm.
So you're singing in German and Spanish at early ages. I still am not fluent at either of those, but I can hear it and I can sing it.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty fun.
That's sweet.
Yeah. That's
my grandmother, my mother's mother, was a native-born German speaker, and it was always fun to sit at the. She lived with us for
Deutsch.
A long. Yeah, she would, especially in her later years when she was quite what we used to call senile. I'm not sure what the diagnosis would be.
She was going back
in
time.
It's exactly what. She would just start going to German. It was
like, okay, oh, great. That's fun.
That's okay, Nana. She was Nana. My other grandma was Grandma. But yeah, she would go off somewhere.
That's
Auf Deutsch.
Oh, isn't that? So my husband's grandmother, when she was in the nursing home, she was in a bad way because she was blind and she's getting dementia at that point. But she would just sit there, and she would be crocheting. And with her hands, there's no yarn or hook or anything, but was doing the motions, and I was watching. I'm like, oh my gosh, she is making a blanket, that lady.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. So like those old
things.
That was
the place she found peace, huh?
Yeah.
I'll just repeat this.
Yeah. That's where we come to.
We used to do a, in fact, someday I hope we pick it up again, Songs to Memory out of this glorious little community radio station where a number of us would sit with people pretty far into their Alzheimer's.
Oh, that's so
which
lovely.
Means they wouldn't remember who we were. Or
right, but
their
they could
relative
just talk about the things that they want to talk about.
And when we put music on, absolute trigger.
Oh, yeah.
They were back.
Totally.
They were back in the dance hall. They were back with their husband. They were back.
That's so
sweet. Some of them would start singing, and always the smile, sometimes tears, you know, because music does that to people.
Right, totally. Triggers.
And it was incredible. Finally, I was able to look at some of the science in it, and sure enough, people who do neuroscience have... This is in quotes, hooked people up, you know, the stuff on your
right,
brain.
Right.
And man, the brain just fires
yeah,
when music comes around. It is. It's wild. There's very few hooks for these people left. It's not names. It's not faces. But music, bam, there it
right,
is.
Right, because it just triggers a different part of your brain.
That's marvelous. So you're going to be so great when you're old and dotty.
I know, right? I'll just be
you'll,
that
you'll
old
have
lady
your crocheting and your songs.
Pottering around, singing away. Yeah.
We have to do another show about
that's
that.
My
that's
aspirations.
Great. Will you come back in 47 years and do a version of this? Okay, I'm sure I'll still be around.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah,
will.
Absolutely. So, music, singing.
Mm-hmm. Lots of drawing.
Lots
which
of,
is
yes, all, indeed.
Yeah, because you make your own lesson books. And
tell me, give me some details on that. What's a lesson book?
As opposed to public school where it's textbooks with, you know.
Those I remember.
Right. Pictures and, you know, words. And we would have to draw the pictures. Like the teacher would put up this chalk drawing that they made and we would try to copy it or something similar. And
that would be about anything that today might be about?
Well, yeah,
like
so we had different
or...
main lesson plans.
Oh, okay.
So we'd go through the different subjects. So like the first couple hours of the day was to work on the main lesson, and then it gets broken up into the different path classes. So that's like the art and the German and Spanish and the movement, eurythmy. So like the first 2 hours or so is... we would be drawing, we'd be learning about, in the early days, you know, math. So you'd have your little math characters and adding these guys together, and you'd be drawing multiple people and stuff like that. And we'd learned a lot of myths, which is also very fun.
That was fascinating
to me. For a dreamy kid. Oh, I loved it.
Did you? So
good. Yeah. I love myths.
Greek
so
in
fun.
Particular, or doesn't matter where they came from?
Greek was probably my favorite, but all of them were good. We started with Hebrew, so like how the world began and the biblical stuff. And
right.
And then after that, there was, fourth grade is Norse myths. There's some Native American stuff that was... I think that was fourth grade too. It's been a little while.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, kind of put you on the spot there.
Right.
It's no surprise that, you know, there are a lot of human universals, and when you do the respective mythology of various cultures, the similarities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it stopped being uncanny. Now it's expected. You know,
right.
Oh yeah, there's that, and there's that, and there's that. You gotta have that.
All of them have a flood story.
Yeah,
even the ones from India.
Yeah, and a creation story and a first mama story, and wow, and some version of sin. I mean, some version of they did wrong, and here's what happened.
And look at what's going on. So that was a lot of fun. And with reading, you know, I always had a big imagination and stuff like that. So I would be acting a lot of the stuff out, of course.
Yeah.
With my siblings and friends. And When we got to be a little bit older and we got to go to the Park Bowl for recess.
Recess.
Me and two of my friends would climb up to the rocks above and
oh, yes.
disappear for a while, mostly just playing make-believe. Like my 12-year-old self still playing make-believe. That was me.
You don't have to answer this if you don't want to.
Okay.
Do you still make-believe?
It's harder these days.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Sometimes play Dungeons and Dragons.
Do you? Really?
Yep. Less of that these days. More just regular board games and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, we get a good run on. And
were you always a gamer?
Pretty much.
Did you play the standards when you were a kid, like Candyland and
Candyland, Sorry. A lot of Sorry.
Sorry.
Yep. When I got to be a little bit older, Girl Talk, that was a...
Oh, no kidding.
Uh-huh, that with my girlfriends. Yeah, I played a lot of that. Life. These days, I get to branch out into the, like, Catan and Carcassonne.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've played Catan.
There are a lot of versions, and I have several of them.
Atta girl.
Several Carcassonnes.
Being an old game designer, how I used to make my living,
I really appreciate that you're
buying
the next version. Different pandemics.
Tell you a story about Monopoly, the board game that, of course, everybody has played.
There's so many
versions
least
now. Once. Oh, my goodness. But here's the amazing... It was invented... I might be wrong by a year or two. It was invented in 1932 by a guy who wanted to make some pocket change during the Depression. His name was Darwin, interestingly enough. And so he turned out his own in his garage, and he sold them to neighbors. And sure enough, after he sold a couple of hundred units, Ed Parker of Parker Brothers said, you know what? We'll pay you royalties for that. Mm-hmm. That's a good game. We'd like to... If you tried to sell that game now, forget about it. You know,
oh my
it's like,
gosh.
What? The rules are what? Huh? Anyway, it has never undersold its previous year. From 1932
Whoa.
Through 2022, it has never made less money than it did
oh
last
year. Oh my
gosh. Year. And it's.
That's amazing.
It's an institution. It's like.
Right. I mean, they have Wisconsinopoly.
Yes. Yes, they do. They
Any kind of. Theme thing. There's one of those.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
Out there.
When my granddaughter, she couldn't have been 8 or 9, in one of our visits out there, she pulls out the Monopoly board and says, "Let's go." And I'm like, "Really?" And she was really. I mean, you play to the end till I wipe you out.
Oh my gosh! I remember when Junior Monopoly first came out. That was like. 91 or 2 or something.
Okay.
That was like the first different version. So it was like the fair theme. And so the money was $1 and $5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not my granddaughter. Nope.
No.
She went right to grad school.
Oh my gosh.
She went from kindergarten to grad school. Yeah. Yeah. And she would play with grown-ups. I mean.
Yeah. We always like lost focus. Like once all the properties went out, we stopped playing. Like nobody.
Oh, because it does. It can be a 6-hour incredibly boring game.
Yeah, and
oh, here's your
we're
rent.
All like ADD, ADHD in my family. We're all like, okay, attention span gone. Let's go run around.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you used to put the money under free parking, or did that come along?
Later? We would put it in the middle.
Oh, okay, but you did put all the taxes
and
fines and whatever.
Yeah,
yeah,
heck yeah.
That was a big payday.
That was super. That was like the favorite.
When we were young, I lived on a very busy New York City street with various cousins and friends, and we did everything together, whether it was baseball or Monopoly. And whenever we got together for a board game, Monopoly and Clue was big, Careers was big. We would have a made-up fictional playmate to play the game with us.
Oh,
his name was Leon.
Oh.
Yeah. And the 4 or 5 or 6 of us would sit down and play a game. And guess who would always lose?
Leon. Yay.
So we got that figured out early on. You know, you might finish 4th, but you weren't going to lose.
Leon
took care of that.
All right. It's good to have a focus for that.
As long as it's made up. I mean, too often as children you pick a real Leon.
Right.
And that's a whole other story. That's not why we were doing it. No. Games.
Yeah.
You said girl talk? I gotta tell you.
Yeah.
One of my colleagues was Kathy Rondeau, who invented girl
talk.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And we played that all the time.
You can imagine her. She is what you imagine. Hi, Kathy, if you're still out there. That's great.
That's so funny.
Did you have like bells for hours in school? Did you like, okay, it's time to do the next thing?
Well, there was a bell to ring us in from recess.
Uh-huh. Recess like every day? Or?
Two times a day.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
The whole physical part.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, it's important.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was back. Oh, man, that playground was awesome. There was this huge slide. I think they moved it over to when they bought the old Viroqua Elementary School. They moved the slide over there to, I think, the kindergarten part of the playground. It was way better at the first place.
Why?
The angle was different.
Oh.
And there was
you can make these things steeper.
Up above. Yeah, it was. I think it was steeper.
Yeah.
And
you were a lot littler.
We could, like, grab this bar and, like, really whip ourselves down that thing.
Oh, over where you sat, there was a stationary bar.
There was a bar up above the...
Gotcha.
Yeah, and then, like, especially in the winter when things are icy and slippery, and we would, like, build up this big pile of snow and you'll...
Oh.
Yeah.
Completely safe. Well, almost completely safe.
There's a reason why it's not as good anymore.
Yeah.
Probably just a little bit dangerous.
What do you call that? It's true with everything. Anyway.
Yeah.
The legal consequences of everything nowadays are slightly
different.
That
playground, it's like I think about that space now. If I go back behind there, so it's like next to the old Ridge and Rivers veterinary clinic. It's not a very big space, but it felt huge to us. And there was like a little stone house that they were building. It was eventually finished, but I think fourth grade. There used to be like a Viking swing. It looked like a Viking ship. That didn't last very long because it was dangerous.
Those are pointy at both ends. Not what you should be swinging a couple of hundred pounds.
It was super heavy. I think it was too heavy for the chains it was on. So it didn't last very long. But there's this huge, huge maple tree that we would climb in. I got stuck up there. At least once. But I got really good
at
it. Yeah. You climb too high, and then it's really scary looking
down.
It's
a little scary.
Yeah.
They keep telling you, don't look down. Great. How do I get down?
Right.
Somebody have to come up and get you? Do you remember?
I think, yeah. Someone had to at least, like, catch me and enough. Like, I could drop to them, and it was okay. But, like, don't go up that high. I think I probably did again. But, yeah, there would be times there'd be, like, 10 kids in this huge tree. It was awesome.
Heights.
Mm.
My knees are getting a little shaky right now. I've never, even as a little kid, was never any good at it. Remember, Mary and I went to Paris in the early 80s, and we went to Notre Dame, which is, well, used to be. I hear it's almost restored now.
Almost.
Just this glorious piece of medieval architecture.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. I could go too long on that. Anyway, we went up. Inside the turret, which of course is completely closed, these little slits for windows. So I'm fine. You know, there's these stone walls and everything.
Right,
now we're,
up.
I don't know, 120 feet up, and I walk out onto the parapet. And the crenellations, the castle type walls, are knee high. And yes, you could trip and fall out of here to your death on the pavement.
That could happen.
My knees turned to jelly. I backed up against the wall. And I froze.
Oh, no.
And I said, Mary, I can't move.
Uh-oh.
I can't move. Uh-oh. And it's very crowded, you know, and kids are jumping on the walls. And I'm like, I can't move, Mary. Eventually, she
had to peel you off the wall.
Oh, it was literally, it was half a step at a time all the way back to the tower.
Mm.
I hated that. God. Anyway. On that note, those of you who have acrophobia might be able to relate to that. We're going to take a break. My guest today is Deb Eklund, and we are covering some ground about old Viroqua and old Waldorf. I hope you're enjoying it. Anyway, stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're back. You're listening to Conversations. My guest today is Deb Eklund. My name is Ed Hollihan. Our first break, we were talking about the olden days in Viroqua.
Yes.
Can we go back there? Can you put your olden days hat back on? Then we get.
Yes.
We left off with the dairy, I think.
We left off at the dairy. So, like, from the Heritage Inn, we could ride our bicycles to the Viroqua pool. this is one of those favorite subjects around.
Yes, indeed.
But it was such a lovely place, a safe place for kids to like go and just be children and not have to worry. Parents could drop off their kids there and not worry about their kids.
Sure. Again, the good old days.
Yeah, in the good old days. So we could ride our bikes from there, and we'd go to the doll pharmacy and our soaking as little bodies, bare feet, and go buy penny candy.
I remember penny candy.
Yeah, right? Little Tootsie Rolls. And they'd have the different tiers. You have, like, the ones for nickel and
dime,
quarters and 50 cents at the
top. And this was a drugstore, right?
Yeah.
old drugstore.
Good old drugstore. So that now that's where the tea shop and the Mac guys are.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Do you think it's ironic at all that every drugstore X number of generations ago also sold candy and cigarettes? Do you think that's a little ironic?
Well, I think that's kind of just how they developed, right?
Right.
I mean, they used to be the soda shop, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. We used to go to Garcia's Fountain.
I mean, that's when sodas were, like, medicinal with the Coca-Cola.
It's good for
and
you.
And the 7-Up with the lithium. And the Dr. Pepper with your prunes. And
Dr. Pepper,
Yeah. All of those were medicinal.
Absolutely. That's how they sold them for a very long time.
Yeah,
there's a reason Coca is in that name.
Exactly.
Yeah. Isn't that? Wow, that's amazing. What did they call the candy? It's a little. Oh, it's dot. No, it's not dots. That's a box of
the dots on the paper.
On the paper. Was it dots then?
So that is
pre you.
Pre me.
Okay.
My mom would talk about those. So you get like a big strip of those.
As much paper in my mouth as I did with candy.
Right.
It was pretty.
Well, you get the little wax bottles with a little
you had those?
Sugar,
with a little sugar water inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you chew the wax.
And then you chew the wax.
Right.
Yeah. I know, it's awful.
Oh, man.
Oh. But you
it's
do
like
it anyway.
Picking up old gum, you know? Just be sure the flavor is gone. You'll love it. No, you won't.
No.
Yipes. You went with your soaking wet bathing suit and your bare feet
over to the
drugstore to get some candy.
To get candy.
To recharge from all your swimming.
And you don't go back to the pool or maybe go home. So we went to the library a lot. I was in the children's section was in the lower level, and he had the bathtub.
Now, is this the building that is now the circus arts place? Okay, it's still this. It's that one.
It's that building.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that was built for the library many moons ago.
Right.
I think at like 19-something.
Okay, but that was your library.
Yeah, that was my library. So we'd be there a couple times a week, for sure.
Now, is that an idea that your parents said, hey, it's a good idea to go do that? Or is it an idea that you kids just wanted to do it? Or?
Well, my mom always took me to the library. Even when we lived in Indiana.
Uh-huh.
That's where we lived before we moved to Viroqua, was Indiana.
Okay.
And so I'd get the books on tapes because it came with a tape and a book. And it was the best deal because you had somebody could read it to you and you can look at the
pictures.
And
you could look along with.
Yeah. And then you didn't have to bug mom, you know. She's busy with other things. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of all the substitute babysitters, that was one of the good ones.
Mm-hmm.
You were reading. You were getting a story.
Yep.
Yeah.
It wasn't the TV.
Right.
Because we weren't really allowed to watch a lot of television. We didn't have cable as a kid.
Right.
My grandma had cable, so we went to grandma's house.
That was pretty exciting.
That's when we would get our cultural exchange.
Now, was... I know Waldorf education is not mass media friendly for smaller, younger children. Was that also true of your family?
A lot of it was because they were pretty religious when I was little.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up Mormon.
Dude, we got to do another show.
Oh my God. That's a big one.
That's a big one. Yeah, I won't even. Yeah.
Yeah,
I won't,
that's a lot
I won't
to dive
get you
into.
Started. Right. Okay.
So, yeah, it was. We needed a. If we were watching things, it had to be very, G.
G-rated.
G-rated.
Yeah, okay.
At the most, and so it was mostly movies that we got to pick out. So a lot of that's like musicals, which also feeds into my singing.
and your play acting and your daydreaming.
Totally.
Musicals are perfect. I mean,
Right?
Gosh.
I mean, that is what I wanted to go into.
Oh, no kidding.
I wanted to go into musical theater.
Really?
And then I was like, that's so competitive.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. So then I was like, well, maybe costuming. Maybe I could do
There's
costuming.
Even less of a chance to be... You know, to make Broadway than you
right?
do to make the big leagues in any sport. I mean, it's even less than that, which
I
is
know,
10 million to
which
one.
Which is why I'm like non-competitive me. I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not going to go into that. But
yeah.
That was the dream.
Boy, I get you. I grew up, my mom in particular used to love to put musicals on the LPs. And I adored them. I would go right where they were. You know, is
totally.
It London? Is it Paris? Is it Africa? You know, I'm there.
Yeah. I loved it. I knew like a lot of the Rodgers and Hammerstein, and when I got a little older, getting to know like Les Mis.
Oh yeah.
Phantom of the Opera.
All the good stuff.
Yep. I love me some.
Have you been able whatever. In your life to attend many live productions of these things? Is it
not
mostly
many.
Recordings for
I
you?
I did get to see Gypsy.
Oh, no kidding.
Which is...
What an interesting choice.
I know, right?
I know. Let's go see something about a stripper.
Which was really fun.
It was a great musical.
It was, yeah.
But that's fascinating.
I have seen Les Mis.
Oh, yeah.
I would.
We went 3 times in a month. We lived in Chicago. Anybody that would come to town, we take them to Les Mis.
Awesome.
You know, in the gigantic auditorium theater. And it's like,
the rotations,
the stagecraft was magic. It's still magic.
Yeah.
And it's a great story.
Yeah. My cousin, what they did it for a community theater in La Crosse. And
That's
my
ambitious.
Cousin got to be in it. Yeah. So him in that.
Wow.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. I think we got to see Jesus Christ Superstar.
One of Mary's
that
favorites.
Was at least religious, you know, about Jesus. So,
sure.
You know, that was okay. Though there was somebody with a naked butt.
That was in the days when every Broadway show had to have somebody's butt,
somebody's
at least
butt.
One butt naked for at least 5 minutes.
Right,
you
right.
Know?
Like, don't look at that.
That's how they sold tickets, I think.
Yeah, so I haven't made it to Broadway, but I would love to go sometime. My sisters are trying to figure
Honey,
out when we could do
you
that.
You would love to go.
Yeah, they got
do
to
it.
Go a couple
don't,
of years ago.
Don't wait for your bucket list. Do it. Do it while you're 38 and still running around the planet. Yeah, I know it's terribly expensive, but you get twofers, you know. Day of show, you can pretty much get into anything for half price. And anyway, go do it.
There's nothing like it.
It's the real deal. It is the real deal. I remember seeing several Sondheim musicals on Broadway. This is in my business year, so I could actually afford it. And that was always one of my favorites. It's I don't know if you know the story. It's what happens after the fairy tale.
Oh.
It's what happens to Cinderella after.
Right.
It's what happens to... Jack and the Beanstalk after. And it's just, of course, being Sondheim, it's pretty dark. but it's great, great stuff. And it's such a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then what?
Right.
Everybody knows the story, but when we left off, she was still a young woman and he was still a little boy. And then what?
And then what? Yeah. I think I've had some kid books that were like, some politically correct or incorrect ones, and they kind of ran on that theme. And
yep.
So what, you want me to clean up after that? You
know. A Broadway girl. You'd have been great, hon. I got to tell you.
It would have been so fun.
Roberta Peters is sitting right here with me. I've heard your voice, and you do have a great set of pipes.
It's not what it used to be.
Really? Can you tell?
Is it? Oh, yeah.
How does that
show
up? Yeah, okay. It's repetition.
You get raspier earlier, and...
Yeah.
My voice is deeper Because I used to be.
Have you hit mezzo yet?
Have you hit mezzo yet?
You know, if I have a cold, I like to sing the blues because I can hit
girly
those lower
girl
notes.
You got your Lauren Bacall going, your smoky voice.
Yep. So.
You know, you can help it along. Smoking and whiskey will also.
Would also help with that.
So, my advice to you budding young singers: no, don't you dare.
Not doing the smoking.
Don't
maybe
you
the
dare.
Whiskey.
Well, that's also part of Broadway. So we went to the drugstore,
mm-hmm.
and then what'd you do with the other part of your day?
Oh, so the park was way fun.
Which park now?
Well, I guess it would be the Eckard Park,
okay.
But that was pre-Dragon.
Pre-Dragon.
But I got to be there when they were talking about planning.
Oh, no kidding.
The Dragon Park, yeah. Yeah,
ooh.
There was a big old meeting at the Viroqua Elementary school, or they're like, okay, what do kids want to have to play on?
Somebody actually asked the question.
Oh, yeah.
And people showed up to answer it.
Oh, it was a lot.
It's enlightened.
Busy room. Yeah. And everybody wanted a dragon, so they had to like figure out how
no
to make
it. That was
a
universal wish.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah.
Give
yeah,
us a dragon.
Very popular. I don't think it's quite what we were picturing when we said we want a dragon. But
well, you had the Viking ship, you know, you were used to the big shot.
Right. I wanted like one of those dinosaurs you climb on.
Yeah. For those of you who might not be from our fair town, Viroqua, next time you visit, and you really should come for a visit, mm-hmm. Get yourselves over. Just ask somebody where Dragon Park is, and they'll tell
they
you. It's a charmer. It has an actual bandstand in it. And not a gazebo. This is a bandstand.
Band
you can
stand.
Put 20 pieces in there and have room for the equipment.
We did a play there once.
Did you?
Yeah. It was... Was that sixth grade play? It was Roman something or other.
Roman something. It's a great title.
Effluvia. It was one of the characters.
Effluvia?
Effluvia.
Was her name?
Mm-hmm.
Was that your part?
No, that was my friend's part. I don't actually remember what my part was.
Flotsam or Jetsam along with Effluvia?
It was a speaking line, yeah.
Nice. Plays. That's important.
Yeah.
We saw the sixth grade play recently. Which,
they do such a good job.
Oh, my
there.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, they're the luckiest children in the world to have Miss Carey as their teacher, who is like born to produce, direct, write, be the band, and the choreographer. I mean, it's just, it's, and I tell you what, you know, I've always been a little sideways about high school plays and stuff because it ain't the real deal. I'm watching these kids, some of them just turned 12. And they did the most delightful takeoff on The Wizard of Oz.
Nice.
It was brilliant.
Aww.
And some of the kids who, you know, used to be the kid in the corner when you were reading, who was sort of maybe knitting, or certainly not speaking up.
Right.
The kid's a star. They're like, you know, they're playing to the crowd. They're, you can tell when they're ad-libbing, 12 years old and ad-libbing.
That's awesome.
It's so great.
Yeah. That's so sweet. So,
give me another... One more venue when you were a kid here, whether it's still here or not.
Where else would we go? We would, Gary's Rock Shop is still here, so.
Was that there then?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
It's a great shop.
It is. I always have fun, interesting things to look at. We would go there for field trips here and there. That was
from school?
Yeah, because I think one time... Gary showed us how the etching happened because he was doing etching of headstones, monument stones, and stuff like that.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so we got to see...
Something Mr. Kappa does now. Interesting. Yeah. It all comes around. It's
I
all
know,
circles
right?
here
circle.
In Viroqua.
Yeah, and the A&W root beer stand.
Where was it?
So that's now a bank across the street.
Making
the
even
Royal
more
bank?
Money than...
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
That was an A&W.
Yeah.
Was it a drive-thru?
It is the park, and you press the buttons to
oh, no
do the
kidding.
Order. And
ooh.
I think eventually they stopped doing that part.
Let's bring one of those back.
I know,
it
right?
It would be
so
fun to have. And can we put people on roller skates to come up
totally.
To the car?
Totally. There's still a place in La Crosse that does that.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. I think is it Ruby's? Or?
Oh, I know it. Yeah. It's outside of town. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I need to still? Get my daughter to work there. She loves roller skates. It's
oh,
her
no
favorite
kidding.
Thing.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Ariel now we're talking
Ariel,
about.
Ariel, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. She loves riding around on roller skates.
Well, it's the best. She could make some tip money. She
I
could
know,
get
right?
to skate. She'd do a little showbiz.
She
you
could
know,
totally.
A little
yeah,
showbiz
she's a little
with the
ham.
Food.
Yeah.
So I hear. But we won't get into that. Those are other stories.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you go to high school in Viroqua?
So I went to Youth Initiative. That was
now,
early
hold it.
Days.
That was still, that was around then?
Okay, so it was around for a year before I started. And
wow.
So it was the early days of Youth Initiative where it was the weird kids.
I got it.
And we were totally the weird kids.
Well, that's why the school got started.
Yeah.
I mean, here you have all
these
sensitive, creative, not quite mainstream kids, and where should they go to school? I mean,
yeah.
Bless our hearts, this town supports, what, 5 high schools now? A couple of them public, a couple of them private. It's,
wow.
I'll do the list, but not right now, because we're down to the last couple of minutes. You miss anything from the old days in a minute or two?
Oh, you know, childhood is just such a thing.
Yeah.
I miss childhood.
Yeah.
But I love to watch other people's children, my children growing up.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that is one of the perks about being at the co-op is I get to watch other people's children grow up. And
I used to love that.
Yeah.
I used to love that. That's where I got my highest compliment ever.
Yeah?
Amber Knudsen's son.
Oh.
Isa. I made him paper airplanes one day. And he actually ended up sleeping with them and crumpled them and just loved them. And on his next he was extremely shy, this little kid. His next trip through the line, he peeked out from behind his mother's legs and says, "Mama, Ed is a nice boy." And I thought, it doesn't get any better than
no,
this.
It's
oh,
so
my
sweet.
Goodness. You know what? We have a half a page of notes about the co-op. We'll have to do that another time. I can't remember the last time I had so much fun talking to somebody on the radio.
Well,
thank
my
you.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Deb.
Thank you for having me.
It was a real, real treat.
Yeah.
You take good care. Until next time, okay? And you folks, tune in again next week when another member of our revolving cast, as Jim Hallberg likes to say, our revolving cast of hosts Conversations right here on WDRT. Thank you for listening.